Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Big Bros Wrestling Podcast. I'm your co-host, Alex.
And I'm your co-host, Andrew. This is the podcast where we talk wrestling. We talk about, we mainly go through Raw, Dynamite, SmackDown here. NXT, if there's anything big, huge to talk about. Collision on a Blue Moon, if there is anything to talk about. And then any news or PLEs, pay-per-views that come up as well
Got a
here.
big PLE tonight and tomorrow.
Absolutely. SummerSlam.
SummerSlam, the
First time
biggest
it's been
party of the
tuned.
summer.
Yep.
It is the first two-nighter.
First two-night
See how
SummerSlam.
they do with
Yep.
that. Is that their plan going forward, just doing that?
Would if this goes well, I would assume so. But I guess they're trying to make it another wrestle. Of course, it's one of the big four.
Yeah, it's one of the big four. I'm just a little annoyed that Cardi B is the post.
We'll see how that goes.
But one thing before we talk about any other
Yes.
wrestling,
Yes.
it's not how you're doing. Thank goodness for this cooler weather.
Yep, it's finally cooling
It's,
down a little bit.
if you're in the South, you know it's been awful.
It's the past week
It's
or two.
98 degrees, and it's like, hey, you want 80% humidity too? Here you go. Oh.
I mean,
But
tie.
today, right now, it's like 72 right now. And I'm like, thank you.
I mean, times are
And,
changing up.
oh,
There's a
I walk
breeze.
outside and I'm like, this is fall weather.
I mean, football is almost back, baby. I know we're a wrestling
I mean, we
podcast,
did
but.
just. But, ooh, football's almost back. I'm ready for that.
Yes, absolutely. Me too.
We did have the official release of WWE Unreal.
Yes.
Very good. They are.
I haven't gone through all of them.
I got to heel turn and I'm like, I pretty much know what's going to happen this episode. It's going to go into the depths of the what a heel turn is and probably the John Cena heel turn. And we know what's going to happen there. But like, they reveal like.
Lot of
And
stuff.
they show like really like back what like it's stuff like people already know kind of know like they know backstage most people get along now like there's none of this like which probably happened back then too they just like since there wasn't cameras everywhere people didn't have a phone everywhere this wasn't like it was much easier so you could do it. But now it's like it's much harder to keep kayfabe. That's why I like some people like MJF. He's just always in character, like no matter what. Like he makes sure, like he has to make sure there are no cameras. But then maybe he gets out of character. But he's always in character. Like they're going like, oh, this is my government name. This is
Yes.
my.
That's where I was like, ooh,
Like they're
ooh,
giving
they're
like their
going
full government
deep.
names. It's like my name is John Cena. My in-ring name is John Cena, and my government name is John Cena. It's like, no, it's John Felix Anthony Cena. That's his full legal name. He has Felix, like Felix? I'm like, yeah. Okay. You look like a Felix, but it's actually pretty good.
Yes, I'm loving it too.
You're in the
Absolutely.
writer's room, like.
Yeah, that's the part that shocked me was that they went into like where all the Triple H and all the writers are talking
They're
about
talking
stuff.
the so who do we want to win the Royal Rumble? Punk.
Yeah,
Everybody's like
yes.
CM Punk. But then they're like, whoa. What about Jay? I guarantee you some of them are like, what about him? Like
Yeah,
but
just
they did realize like, hey, they found something, like people are on fire for this man. They love Jey Uso. So they're like, okay, let's do this. And they did it, and they're doing pretty well with it. They just loved it. I think it's hopefully they do more than just this five episode run. Are they doing more episodes?
I did see when I was on there, it said they're playing more episodes next year or something. So
It's a lot of production.
it is, yeah.
Like you really, because you got to interview all these people, you got to get all this. So they only did it from, what was it like? the December Saturday night's main event.
Yeah. Oh,
that's up right. Until
yeah.
WrestleMania. So that's still like a 5 month like filming period.
Yeah.
That's a lot. 5 months, you gotta like, all right, let's get all this footage. Because the last episode's WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's what they.
That's, at least that's what the title's called. So I'm imagining
it's definitely
WrestleMania related.
It was just that chunk of time, but still, they put a good amount into it in they five do. Episodes.
They do. But. That's all I have to say about Unreal.
That's all
really good. I need to watch the last two episodes when I have time. But let's get straight into Monday Night Raw, the go-home show for Raw. First we are in Detroit, Michigan. We start off like everybody's arriving. Oh, they do start off with their Tim Bell salute. And there were some people missing.
And
there's a lot of people who are like, why are we here? Like, why am I here? Because a lot of the wrestlers do not like him. And then they do another video for him. But then we get into the actual start of the show. Jey Uso and Paul Heyman talk about
family.
I have every time I see that word, I know how to do the.
Yeah. It's only natural.
It's natural. He comes out, blah, blah, blah. He's ready. He'll team with his cousin, Roman Reigns, to take on Bronson Reed, Brock Breaker. Tonight in the main event, Bronson Reed. Crowd's going wild, but then Uso comes out. Uso. Paul Heyman cuts him off. The crowd loudly boos Heyman as he walks out to the stage. Heyman tries to do his usual stick, but the crowd, blah, blah, blah. He says, my name is not. Heyman says he's not here to be disrespectful to Mayman Jey Uso, even though he's in the main event against Bronson Reed. Heyman is here to speak man to man about the bloodline, blah, blah, blah. Heyman wants to speak from the heart in front of a worldwide audience about family. It's like, let's talk about family. Heyman says he cannot believe that Uso accepted his cousin's invitation to team with him this Saturday at SummerSlam against Bronson Reed, blah, blah, blah. Uso is doing it all in the name of family. Heyman emphasizes family in a derogatory way. Heyman says family is always going to let you down and get you in trouble. Heyman says, trust the Oracle. That's not a prediction. That's a prophecy.
Okay. Not a spoiler, a prophecy.
It's going to happen. It always turned on you. Heyman can see Uso isn't buying into what he's telling him. Another OTC chant goes up. Heyman wants to lay this one on Uso. When Uso was a kid, did his mother tell him it was Santa Claus that lit the presents underneath the tree? Because he didn't. In other words, Uso's mother lied to him. He's like, your mother lied to you about Santa Claus. And Uso's pacing the ring. Heyman says everyone's mothers lied to them too, except for the Jewish ones because his tribe knows.
Yeah.
Wait, is Paul Heyman Jewish?
Yeah, I think
I didn't know so. Paul Heyman was Jewish. I had no idea. Did Uso's father tell him he wanted to become more iconic than he was? Is that what Rikishi told him? Rikishi doesn't want that. Uso's father lied to him, too. When Roman Reigns wasn't going to pick up... When Roman Reigns was going to pick the next in line for the Tribal Chief, he didn't pick Uso. He picked Solo Sikoa. How did that work out for the family? Blah, blah, blah. His leg, that didn't work out too well. If Roman Reigns said that to Uso, Roman Reigns lied to him too. Heyman isn't saying this out of anger or malice. He's saying this because he loves you. Blah, blah, blah. Heyman then yells, yeet. Drops the microphone and bows to Uso. Yeet.
Yeah.
Mic drop. And some more stuff happens. Jey Uso is like, oh man, I'm fired up. I'm going to do this for my family. The bloodline still runs deep in my veins. Heyman is out here talking crap about him. Uso did all the things he wanted to prove himself. He won the world championship, blah, blah, blah. They brought Heyman into his family. Here's what's going to happen. Heyman screwed his cousin at WrestleMania. His boy screwed him out of the World Heavyweight Championship. Whatever happens tonight at SummerSlam is on Heyman. It's behind. Four letters! One word! We're going to run it. Right. Uso starts to dance and celebrate again. It's like, I don't like how he added that. The four letters, one word. I'm like, just say ye. Don't add the other crap to it. It's annoying.
Yeah.
I think it's a little excessive.
I agree. Just a lot. I don't know.
But that ends that segment. And this day, later tonight, World Heavyweight Champion Gunther will have a message for CM Punk. The Judgment Day will also defend their World Tag Team Championships against LWO. We also see Rhea Ripley team with Stephanie Vaquer, Io Sky, and Nikki Bella to take on Naomi, Chelsea Green, and the Secret Service. AJ Styles makes his way to the ring. He'll team with the Kabuki Warriors to battle the Judgment Day in a six-person mixed tag team match. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
AJ with the Kabuki. I mean, he was in Japan, so.
I know. It was weird to me to start.
Like the other three that, like.
Yeah.
Because it's Dom and then Roxanne Perez and Raquel Rodriguez. That makes sense because Judgment Day, but. All right.
Kabuki War, it's one of those where it's like a web of storylines where the Kabuki War, well, I guess not.
I guess it's because it's Dom and AJ Styles. Yeah.
And then the Kabuki Warriors.
It's one of those. It's what AEW does. Like, but the enemy of my enemy is my friend, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay.
Yes, that's what, yes.
But we go straight into that match. And from what I've heard, pretty good match. Like, nothing that I would like, oh my God, you gotta watch this match. Yeah. It's like, no, it's like, it was a good match. But AJ Styles and the Kabuki Warriors win. Good for them. Faces stand tall. Backstage segment. Earlier today, Jackie Redmond congratulated Sheamus on winning his match. Grayson Waller and The New Day, who are still dressed in black, mourning the loss of the Raw Tag Team Championship. What?
The loss of it.
Approach him. Waller says he dumped Austin Theory and wants to take it to Sheamus. Sheamus says Waller isn't a confession. Sheamus is ready to take him on. Waller turns and sees that The New Day isn't behind him anymore. Uh-oh. Sheamus makes his way to the entrance, and he'll batter Grayson Waller next. Apparently, Jahmyr Gibbs is there, because they are in Detroit.
Yeah.
And then, light heavyweight fighter Jamahal?
Well, I'm trying to remember.
Jamahal. Is it Jamahal or is it just Jamal?
I don't remember. I know they had a good amount of celebrities they were put in the audience.
That's a funny name. We go straight into Sheamus versus Grayson Waller. Again, I did not watch this because I'm working. Apparently, it was a match.
Yeah, I don't remember a lot from this match, but it was more or less, yeah.
Mainly, Rusev gets involved. He attacks Sheamus in the spine with the shillelagh. Rusev beats Sheamus with the shillelagh. The referee pulls the shillelagh away, but Rusev has already moved him into the accolade. All this stuff happens. They're keeping this storyline going. Rusev versus Sheamus. Another backstage interview. Jackie Redmond is with Naomi. She asked her about facing Rhea at Io Sky, how she's preparing, knowing that Rhea and Io will be preparing for this for her this time. Naomi isn't happy that Redmond asked that question. Naomi is not passive aggressive. She's aggressive. It's like that's not the opposite of passive aggressive. So I don't like how you asked that question. It's like, what? Like, that's a solid question. It's like, how are you preparing for this, knowing that they're prepared for you this time? Naomi doesn't care who you throw at her, whether it's the past, present, or future of the division, she'll take them all out. When she walks out at some, they weren't warned to proceed with caution. Cool. Lyra Valkyrie is walking backstage. We'll hear from her next. Blah, blah, blah. Another video of the superstars talking about Hulk Hogan. They got Logan Paul to say something. AJ Styles. Oh, they got Hacksaw Jim Duggan. It's just a bunch of like superstars saying like what Hogan did. But cool. Oh my gosh. Keep going. A locker room segment. Big Bronson Reed is backstage with Paul Heyman. Heyman says he hears that Jey Uso's family thinks they're nothing more than a group without a leader since Seth Rollins is out for an extended period of time. I still don't believe that. It's like, how long? How long? Because you'll never, like, no one said what his injury was.
Yeah.
Or how long he'll be out. So a total con. Rager says Reed is going to destroy and tsunami Jey Uso. They'll show Joe control over WWE. It starts tonight with Reed. Reed smiles and says, tonight, Jey Uso and any member of his family, I'm going to leave down, out, and tsunamied. Reed walks off. Heyman says, that worked. Berger says he has a plan, and Heyman looks confused. Lyra calls out Becky Lynch. That's basically just,
yes.
She calls her out. Blah, 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 blah. I'm ready for our match at SummerSlam. Becky comes out to attack her. But Lyra gets the upper hand. So she's Lyra. I'm like, because Becky tried to sneak him a bit of the side, but Lyra's like, haha, I knew you'd do that. It's like, no, that's not believable. Okay. Apparently the promo was bad. She's like, she tried, but.
Yeah, I don't remember being necessarily. Yeah, it wasn't that good. It was.
Oh, apparently she's had a lot of like. And they're saying it was the Roman Reigns saying tater tots and suffering Sakatosh. Bad.
I haven't watched it, so I don't know. I guess
there's no DQ, no count out match. Valkyrie greets the Detroit crowd. She points out her shoes, calling them big shoes, and says they're Becky Stompers. Thanks. In one week, she'll be standing here as a two-time women's intercontinental champion, or she will fail and never being a blah, 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 blah. If it happens, she won't be standing here. Apparently, it was just a really bad promo.
It was. Yeah.
A lot of backstage interviews. Earlier today, Corey Graves interviewed Sami Zayn. Zayn and Karrion Kross have been at odds, which comes to a head this weekend at SummerSlam. What is Zayn hoping to accomplish? Zayn says he's hoping to be done with Cross once and for all. Cross is upset with him. Cross wants him. What? Some warped truth about him. But Zayn doesn't care. Blah, blah, blah. He's just like, I want to be done with it. Cross comes in. I told Graves to go away. Cross is the Scarlet. Cross says he had the idea to hit Zayn in the injured ribs with a steel pipe. But then he thought, Zayn wouldn't make it to SummerSlam. That doesn't work for him. Cross usually gets everyone to WWE to show their true colors, except Zayn. Basically, it's more of a little hype promo for their match.
Yeah.
I know who I want to win. Apparently, that was a really done thing. But, blah, blah, blah.
I didn't mind it. I thought...
Apparently, they said that promo was really good.
I thought it was a dumb thing. No, yeah, it was a good, yes. I loved that promo between both of them, yeah.
In the arena where Women's World Champion Naomi heads to the ring, we have an 8-women tag team match. Apparently, the commentators put over all the WB podcasts released this week, which there's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, what are we doing right now? I mean, the podcast is blowing up, yeah.
Another backstage interview. Doing a lot today. Jackie Redmond is backstage with a dejected Bayley. Bayley isn't slated to appear at SummerSlam. What's next for her? Bayley says she lost her opportunity at the IC title and the tag team titles. She already missed WrestleMania, and now she's missing SummerSlam. For the first time in her career, she's at a loss for words. Bayley walks off. Redmond wonders if she's seen Bayley looking this lost. Apparently, a lot of people are thinking she's going to have a heel turn.
I wouldn't count that out.
But with the 8-women tag team match, we have Naomi, Chelsea Green at the Secret Harvest versus Io, Stephanie, Nikki, and Rhea Ripley with the faces winning. Good for them. Who got the pin? Stephanie Vaquer And Chelsea Green. Cool.
Yeah. There wasn't a lot to this match either, from what I remember.
We have the Judgment Day Clubhouse. Most of the Judgment Day looks dejected after losing earlier. World Tag Team Champions Finn Balor and JD McDonough think they need to rally the troops. Balor says that it's just one night, blah, blah, blah. It's just them, like, getting ready for, like, hey, we're having our match. We're going to win, though. And it pretty much goes straight into that. And they do retain. But near the end of the match, they're doing stuff. Cruz del Toro goes to the top rope to do some type of dive, but they knew El Grande Americano, because yes. It's not Chad Gable and that's not Ludwig Kaiser, puts him, and then, yeah. You heard the rumors on who it is, right?
Who the new one is? Yeah. No, who?
There's a lot of rumors thinking that's Pete Dunne. Now.
Really?
Who were Penta's first three opponents in WWE?
You're telling me you're going
Chad Gable
with this?
Pete Dunne, Ludwig Kaiser. And now they're all becoming Americano.
They're going long term with that.
I'm like, I see it. I need to do it. I see it.
I did not expect that.
I didn't expect it either, but like, it's fun. So you can clearly tell that new one is not Ludwig Kaiser, obviously. Yeah. He's too tall. He's not tall enough. And Chad Gable, like, it didn't fit the build. But people are saying they're looking at, like, the facial features and, like, that looks just like Pete Dunne. It's like, it could be Pete Dunne. It's hilarious. People are like, is that a Chad Gable? It's like, no, I don't think it's Chad Gable. I think it's Pete Dunne. You have some more stuff. Have some more hype stuff. Gunter calls out CM Punk. They have a very good promo.
Yes, I liked it.
Going back and forth, just saying, like, no, I'm better than you. No, I'm better than you. I'm going to win. No, I'm going to win. Just stuff like that. Commentators run down some of the events for the weekend. Breland will sing God Bless America on Saturday. Tiger Lily Gold's. We'll sing it on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Do you know who those are?
I couldn't say they ring a bell, I'll be honest. Nope.
Yep. We now get into the main event. Main event, Jey Uso versus Big Bronson Reed. From what I heard, it was a good match. It ends with disqualification because right at the end of the match, Bronbreaker comes out of nowhere, hits Uso with a spear, calls the DQ. They start beating him up, but then Roman Reigns comes out. Reigns takes his time heading to the ring to make the save because he's Roman Reigns. He needs a slow entrance. Reigns snaps Reed off the top rope, blah, blah, blah. Oh, wow, this happened. Breaker gets on the apron, so Uso super kicks him down. Reigns then hits Reed with a Superman punch. I think it all ends in just a brawl with Breaker and Reed standing on top. Like,
yeah,
we got this. It's like, okay. That is the end of Raw. I think it was a pretty good go-home.
Yeah.
It shows a lot of, like, because we already know the storyline's going in. They covered, like, CM Punk and Gunther. Like, they had a good final promo. They have Lyra and Becky have a promo.
Yeah.
It was there.
Yeah.
They're addressing the big tag team match between Roman and Jey versus Bronson and Braun. I still hate Braun and Bronson.
Yeah, that sounds so similar. Yeah.
What else was there? What other matches are from Raw? There's no way there's only four matches from Raw. Oh, Sami Zayn, Karrion Kross. They slightly covered AJ versus Dom.
Yeah.
And they talked about Naomi in that match.
They did the Dom AJ stuff last week when they had AJ in the different costumes.
They did. Stuff. But this week they're finally, they did like,
they're focusing on.
Oh, that's because they're not. But Desperate Day isn't facing the Kabuki Warriors. They're facing Charlotte and Alexa.
They just want it.
I guess just because the rivalry there.
Could there be something? No, they're Kabuki was on the team to interfere or anything.
No, I wouldn't want that to happen. That would make me so mad.
Especially when you get to like a TLE kind of
thing. This level.
Yeah.
But anything else? I really wish I could watch these matches again. But
which matches?
Just Raw again. Just so I could watch Raw. Because I'm working on Monday night, so I can't watch them right now.
Well, I mean, they're recorded.
They are recorded. Yeah. I could watch them the next day. But then, like, everything's spoiled for me by then.
Yeah.
Because you can't go on social media.
That is
without
true,
someone talking about, like, did you see what happened on Monday Night Raw?
Yeah.
The Diddler. The Rizzler. Okay. Like, I thought he was in AEW.
Yeah.
But, okay. I think they did a very good job with closing with a go-home show. Very good job.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
That's all I have. You have anything else you want to add?
That's all I got. All
right, that is all of Raw.
Let's move on to Dynamite now. This week we are still in Chicago, Illinois. We're doing a two-week thing in the Byline Bank Aragon Ballroom here. And kickoff, we get a little video package with Hangman Adam Page's and Moxley's match at All In to hype up the rematch that is slated for later tonight. And then we open the night with a continuation of the tag team title eliminator tournament quarterfinal with the Outrunners taking on the Young Bucks. Not the EVPs, the Young Bucks.
They get the blank template graphic.
Yeah, they had
wrestler name, whatever.
Or talent name or something like
that. They're like, oh, wow, that's funny.
I forgot to mention, they also, after the week after, or the Dynamite after All In, they came out, they had a swerve made, in quotes, a graphic of
the Titantron.
Their whole Founding Fathers thing. It was made, and it had
highlights. It was Comic Sans.
Yeah, Comic Sans. And the clips were of
them losing.
Osprey and Swerve beating them at All In and stuff. But then the match starts. I'm sure the crowd was really into this one. With the Outrunners, absolutely. However, the Young Bucks land the TK driver. I guess they're still calling it. I don't know.
Well, they can't do the EVP trigger.
Yeah, the EVP. Yeah, a TK driver to get the win there. Then Okada, he makes his way out. He wants to join the Bucks in celebration with them. But Swerve gets involved pretty quickly. The Outrunners get the Bucks out of the ring before going after Okada. But then Okada makes his escape, but can't escape Swerve Strickland.
I forgot the Young Bucks also got the jobber entrance.
Yeah.
They were already in the ring.
Okada can't escape the Swerve Stomp. And then Swerve walks back to the ring and stands tall with the Outrunners as his music plays. So, okay. That's how we're starting it tonight. We go back to just Mark Briscoe. He's interrupted by Ricochet and GOA, or Gates of Agony, who tell him to stop worrying about MJF and focus on the man who's facing him tonight, which is Ricochet, which is, we'll see you later. And he's he probably, I'll be in the match. And Ford turning his attention back and telling off MJF before Ricochet decides to get his attention back and saying, I'll see you tonight. And a little more hype there. We go to commercial, come back. Commentaries talk about MJF in Happy Gilmore 2, which released this week. I didn't see it. Did you see it?
No, I didn't watch it.
I've heard mixed things about it.
People are trying to be critical about it, and it's like, it's an Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah.
You better lower your expectations.
But they talk about him being on there, but then they go to backstage to MJF, who wants to clear the air with the Hurt Syndicate. He feels like, we need to get back on the same page. We're still together and stuff. He thinks that, but that he knocks on the door and Shelton Benjamin comes out. And he says, I want to apologize for Bobby Lashley, for all Bobby Lashley did or whatever. He said, I don't care. MVP isn't here tonight because he's disgusted with you. He talked about MVP stuck out his neck for him, and that's the only reason he was in the Hurt Syndicate. And he has MJF for the time. And then MJF's like, no, I gave it to you. And then Shelton says, oh, yeah, that's right. And he pulls it out and says, this is a good watch. This is a nice watch that came from Timu, or something along those lines, revealing that it was just a cheap knockoff. And saying, as far as the Hurt Syndicate goes, before he goes inside, he turns back to MJF, gives him the thumbs down. MJF is out of the Hurt Syndicate. A betrayal there? I don't think there was a lot of payoff. It was kind of entertaining seeing all the build-up, him getting into the Hurt Syndicate, but then only being there for
yeah,
a month? If that's, I don't know, it's a little weird to me. Speaking of betrayals, Christian Cage apparently has found himself and decides and decides to come up and clear the air. He introduces himself. He is Christian Cage. He is a bleep hole. And the crowd's, okay, yes, okay, you're finally seeing it. And he talked about he was obsessed with getting the AEW World Championship, him winning the contract last year. And he saw his past in the moment after hitting a picture-perfect spear. And then he turns his attention to Nick Wayne and all that happened at All In Texas. He says, he knows the stuff he likely did to deserve that treatment, and how there's a long line of people looking for the same thing about stuff in his past. But, and then he addresses Adam Copeland, and looking back at his own remarks toward Copeland before asking him, the things he said were really that bad. And then he says that Adam is going to come out here and act like he doesn't understand the game within the game. And he's made some unsavory comments himself. And then he addresses Adam Copeland's time to go find himself. Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. Maybe. But know this, you and I are so different, and yet we're the same. Tony Schiavone's out there interviewing him, and he said, "Want to ask a little more about All In?" He addressed this by just going after Nick and Shayna Wayne, who is Nick's mother, Nick's thinks he's all got to figure it out. What's going to happen? He's going to actually find an answer for what you've done. I'm going to stand out in the air and admit Nick has more talent than me. I was trying to protect him. I'm the new face of AEW now and forever. But you have to go through Christian Cage to get there. Nick Wayne, he goes, you already have one dead father, and now you have a second father who is just dead to you. And in the end, he disowns the whole, I don't know if you could call it patriarchy anymore. I don't know what they're calling themselves. But then he makes his way out of the ring, goes up the ramp where Shayna Wayne is there, confronts him before Kip Sabian and Nick Wayne appear, and they have a pair of chairs. And they give a little standing concerto to Christian after the disownment. So it's clear that these two have parted ways, and we will see where this goes from here. Then we go to a commercial break, and then we come back. Usain commentary says, we'll have an update on Christian Cage after that attack. Then we go back to backstage to hear from FTR and Stoke. Stoke says he has a message for a few people, including Adam Copeland. I hate that name, Cope. Who reminds is banned from the building. Adam Copeland's not supposed to be there. Then he addresses the Bang Bang Gang ahead of the match on Collision, so it's some Collision stuff. That's really pretty much all it is. And then, which I thought was going to be the main event, I don't know why it's happening right now in the middle of the card. We have an AEW World Championship rematch, no one in ringside. Adam Page taking on Jon Moxley, which I'm sure was as good as there wasn't Texas Death, so I don't know if you could say it's as good. It's to each their own, in my opinion. But towards the end, the Death Riders try to get a little sneaky. Shafir tries to get out here. The ref sees it towards the end, ejects her, gets her out of there. As security drags her away, but then Darby's there. There's a little extra. He gets a dive from the opera box onto them. But then hey, there's a little more stuff in the ring, and Hangman is still your AEW World Championship.
No, he's the championship,
or
not a
the
champion.
champion, excuse me. And then he gets, of course, a big pop from the crowd. Then we get Timeless Toni Storm and Alex Windsor taking on Athena and Billy Starks after what happened last week. With Athena and Billy Starks getting the win, Athena still eyeing the match with Toni Storm. And then Billy Starks sends Alex Windsor to the barricade. And Athena says, it's only a matter of time before I get the title, and my time is forever, and yada yada yada. Then we're backstage with Hangman Adam Page, who MJF quickly interrupts him, who is upset because he doesn't want to defend the title unless he executes his world title contract. MJF's tried not to use the contract and skip the line. And he goes on, he brings up, excuse me, Swerve Strickland to try and rile up Hangman. But it gets turned around, but Hangman tells him if he wants to go after the title, he needs to face and beat Mark Briscoe, a man that Hangman's respected in over a decade. MJF just scoffs at that idea and walks away. But then we go to the main event of the night, which is Ricochet and Mark Briscoe. which was really weird saying that this was the main event. With Brody King, Bandido coming in, and the Gates of Agony getting involved as well, all of this. Mark Briscoe ends up winning that match. And he doesn't waste time to celebrate. He grabs a mic. He heard what was said before the match. He calls out MJF. He doesn't like him invoking Jay Briscoe's name not once but twice in their past verbal feuds. So he's never felt like the Circus Night. His brother's up in heaven chilling in that mansion. But he says he may never be forgiven what he's going to do to MJF. And he's worried, so he tells MJF to make his day and give him the match right here, right now. MJF, his music, you hear his music, you see all the Titantron stuff. But MJF doesn't come out. There's no sign of until he finally pops on the screen. He tells us, I'm not dumb enough to go out there. I know that you seem to drop the comedy for a moment there, but that's not enough for MJF to take him seriously. He isn't all that he's all that interested in facing Briscoe. And that was proof of point because Seabiscuit says MJF doesn't deserve a shot at the title. So we talked to Tony Khan, and next week it'll be Mark Briscoe, MJF, in the main event. That is, if Briscoe can make it there. Then out of nowhere, MJF sneaks into the ring from behind, attacks Briscoe, and just starts wailing on before he grabs a microphone, and says, calling out Paige for calling him a coward. And then Hangman Page doesn't like that. He comes out and forces MJF into the corner and allows Mark Briscoe to go for a J driller. But MJF doesn't manage to break away and retreats up the ramp. Crowd chants coward to him. And then Mark Briscoe hits as he stands alongside Hangman Adam Page, who leaves the ring and lifts Mark the moment with the crowd, and the commentary hypes up the matches for Collision and next week on Dynamite as we go to black. So, I mean, a lot of stuff to get excited about here. Obviously, we get MJF Mark Briscoe next week. This thing's been boiling over for a while. We'll see what Athena does with her contract. We'll see Swerve and Okada. We'll see where that goes. But when is Forbidden Door? That's coming. That, I think, that's coming up. Oh, mid this month. So we have a couple weeks here. Mm-hmm. And so, and that match was, I don't know when this was, but that was already made official with Okada taking on Swerve there. And Athena will use her Casino Gauntlet guaranteed championship match against Toni Storm there. So, oof. There's already some matches being put on there. We'll see, of course, more because this is Forbidden Door. Apparently, this is Forbidden Door London too. So, we'll see about Ospreay. But we'll see in the coming months or coming weeks. Excuse me, not months. What matches are added? But other than that, that's all I got for Dynamite.
All I got for Dynamite. Now let's move on to Friday Night SmackDown. Surprise, surprise, they're in Newark, New Jersey, not too far from MetLife Stadium. We start off with, live in the arena, we see the steel cage, and then John Cena's music hits. The new John Cena, he comes out, regular heel Cena, blah, blah, blah. He points to Mark Nash, who introduced him as the greatest of all time, blah, blah, blah. All this happens in 10. Cody Rhodes comes out. Cody comes out. They have a little back and forth. Cena begins to, begins to tell him that a match at SummerSlam would be too difficult for him, but Cody, you didn't listen. You assaulted me, forced my signature, and forced me into one of the most dangerous matches. He tells Cody he has one thing to say, and that's thank you. Because that was the boot in the that I needed. For 25 years, day in and day out, he forged a reputation of hard work, honesty, and respect, and he now realizes that 5 months ago he flushed it down the toilet chasing somebody's idea to make shocking TV. Blah, 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 blah. He raises the title and says he wants to leave with them. After his last match, he wants to take the title home with him. But it's not because he wants to ruin wrestling. He loves wrestling. It's because after he's gone, he doesn't want the fans to forget about him. Blah, 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 blah. Cody tried to tell him to listen. He says Cody did what a good friend do. He forced him to have it. Cody says the fight will be brutal. He will dig down and be who he really is. He tells Cody to mark his calendar. Mark first knew or Jersey that John Cena came back to WWE. He says he doesn't know who leaves it on Sunday, but he knows who wins, and this is everyone. He says he's finally over his own BS, and we finally get to see Cody Rhodes against the greatest of all time in a street fight. And they keep talking some more. Cody grabs two beers, looks at Cena, and tells him, welcome back, John Cena. Hands Cena a beer, and Cena looks around. Cena shakes his hand. They blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. And there.
Cena face?
There are two very obvious things happening here. Two very obvious options that are happening here. Two things that can happen. Either John Cena's playing us. He's like, really? Y'all fell for that? Or tomorrow, because this is tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're getting the Cody heel turn.
I mean, we've been suspecting that for a little bit here.
We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens tomorrow. But it's one of those two. It's either one of these should happen. It's going to happen. We got the line, Joe. As Wade says, he is hesitant that Cena is back. It's like, I don't believe that. But okay. It's like, see, you're with me. On the camera cuts the scenes from earlier today, we see Jelly Roll training in a ring, and then comes Logan Paul, who tells the trainers in the ring that they're doing the Lord's work. Jerry tells him to get in the ring, and he does. Jelly Roll gets in the corner, but in comes Drew McIntyre, breaks it out, blah, blah, blah. Just some stuff from happened earlier. We have a United States Women's Championship match between Julia and Zelina Vega. Don't know how good it was, but Julia does pick up the win. She retains. Kind of forgot about the Women's United States Championship. Because after Chelsea Green, they kind of just didn't care about it right now. So we cut backstage, and Kathy Kelly's with Solo Sikoa and hit the MFTs. Do we know what MFT stands for yet?
No.
He tells her that he is worried about his title and his MFTs. He says tonight Jimmy is going to get a boot from Tala Tonga, blah, 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 blah. Next, we have the AAA World Tag Team Championship Open Challenge with the Los Garza as the champions facing Mystery Guana and Psycho Clown.
Yeah.
And I was like,
yeah.
I love Mystery Guana.
I know, yeah. I watched a little bit of, what was the one that, was it World's, I guess it was World's Collide
yeah.
that they had before Mania? But yeah, the crowd was popping for him.
Yeah. But unfortunately, Los Garza are still your AAA World Tag Team Champions. So that's showing that, hey, they're not just going to go to AAA and do stuff. They're going to bring them here, too. Just some backstage stuff of high package videos. We have Damian Priest versus Aleister Black. pretty good match they're having, but it doesn't end with a DQ with Aleister Black throwing a chair at Priest.
Oh.
It's like he clears the table and he goes over, you just see a chair just like, oh. Aleister Black with right hands with the referee breaks it up. Black grabs the shield chair and hits Priest across the back. The referee takes the chair from Black, blah, 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 blah. He sends Priest up and he hits the Black Mass.
Cool.
They're keeping that rivalry going, which I thought was weird because I thought they were doing Black versus Miz. And then they quickly changed it to, no. He's going to go up against Damian Priest. Tiffany Stratton is backstage and in comes Jade Cargill. She tells Tiffany that she did not need her help last week. Tiffany tells her that she didn't need any, want any excuses for SummerSlam. Jade tells her she does not have to worry about anyone or any cash-ins tomorrow. It's like, she doesn't. There's no cash-ins. Naomi doesn't have the...
Yeah.
So she's the champ. We have Tama Tonga versus Jimmy Uso. It wasn't in a steel cage. The match was not in a steel cage. I don't know why the steel cage was there. Maybe it'll come up later. But they're having a match, blah, blah, blah. Tama Tonga wins. And of course, what do the heels do? Let's beat him up.
Mm-hmm.
They start to beat him up, and then they call for the cage to come down. But as the cage kind of stops at some point. And then Jacob Fatu comes in, over the cage. Jacob Fatu just goes again against the MFTs. Kathy Kelly is backstage with Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss. Flair says she did not have her and Bliss as a tag team on her bingo card for 2025, but here they are. Bliss takes it as a compliment, and she says that Flair does not like to use the F word. Friend, imagining.
Mm-hmm.
Flair tells her that they should win the tag team titles first. Logan Paul's music hits, and out he comes. He stands on stage as Drew's music hits. Both men get in the ring, and Logan and they start talking about blah blah. Logan Paul even addressed the green shirt guy.
Yeah, I did see that.
Like, shut up, green shirt guy. Logan says no one understands what it means to compete at SummerSlam, which General Roll thought was a hot dog eating contest. It's like, how are you making fat jokes? You know how much weight he's lost.
That was a weird one.
It's like, if he was still his size, maybe you could make the fat joke. But, like, just from last SummerSlam till now, good to see what his ringer is going to be. Is that tonight?
I think
it's tonight. He says he and Drew dedicated their entire lives for this, and they are sick of these outsiders. Why are they doing this for Logan Paul? Why are they doing this outsider thing? Do they know? We know. It's like, dude, like, you know that we know that you know.
I think they just tried to do the heel. They were like, yeah, I'm one of you guys, right? Yeah, yeah.
You're an outsider still. You may gotten some respect from some people, but people still don't like you because you were an outsider. You just came in because you were Logan Paul. Drew took blah, blah, blah. He says that he and Drew dedicated that as a possible duo unless you were Logan Paul. He tells Jelly Roll that Jelly Roll was an outsider, not a wrestler. He's a country star, not a superstar, and he will never, ever belong to the WWE. Drew tells Randy that whatever happens to Smelly Hole. Really? That's the best you can do, Drew? Smelly Hole? All right, bud. Just because Jelly Roll asked for a match does not mean he should be given one. Drew says, you only talk to God when you need a favor. He says Orton is selfish having God on speed dial because he is facing Drew. And that reference to one of his songs.
Mm-hmm.
So you like reference my song, so. We see a car pull into the arena and out steps Jelly Roll. Drew tells him the match is not happening if he comes out. Jelly Roll taps on the hood of the car and out steps Randy Orton, blah, blah, blah. Nick Aldis comes out trying to stop but Orton. Jelly Roll keep walking onto the ring, blah, blah, blah. Oh, this is the main thing.
Oh, huh.
Already done with the show.
Oh.
Okay. But I guess comes out trying to stop him, but they get through there. They get in the ring as they all begin to fight. Security runs to break it down. Logan Paul runs to the outside of the ring, and Orton kicks Drew to the outside. They start screaming Randy. Vince cheer, and Orton hits the RKO to their security guards in the ring. He stops at the third, and Jelly Roll chokeslams the security guard. Orton's music hits as they go out. All right. They really got hurt SummerSlam.
Yeah. I think they put more emphasis on the matches, and that, I think that's why.
They get to the end, it's like, oh, we're done.
Yeah.
SmackDown don't play.
Mm.
They're like, hey, we're getting... You better move along. Because it's like, hold on, we're waiting. We're waiting. And go.
No, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. They move through it. But the John Cena thing, it's like...
I know. I don't need to think about that either.
A lot of people are already like, oh, he's face again. It's like, really? Y'all are that quick? Just believe that? Y'all have to be like in on the joke too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, really? Maybe it's just because I'm always like, I don't believe everything I see, but it's really... He's been so heel,
yeah,
this entire time, and then randomly, you change my mind.
Yeah,
it's like
I'm with you there. It's hard for me. I'm not believing it much either.
It could have happened, but we get to see the Cody heel turn. But I think that's less likely. I think it's John's just playing Cody and the rest of us. Like, we were going to act shocked, and it's like, wow, didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
What else is? They didn't cover any of the tag team stuff, which that's going to be a banger tomorrow night.
Oh yeah. Oh,
that is going to be such. The other matches tomorrow night better be careful, because that TLC could easily steal the show.
It's what we didn't get
at Mania. When they did the triple threat between Street Profits, DIY, and was it Motor City Machine Guns? At that point,
I forget what they did. Wasn't it like they had did it like the SmackDown before or after?
Right after.
Yeah, and they had the match there.
Hold on, just looking at Montez Ford matches. Oh. April 25th, it was, yep, triple threat TLC tag match between them two, Alex Shelley and Chris, yep, and Motor City Machine Guns, and then DIY. Well, they have not been in a lot of matches, but they are heels, so they're not going to defend the title a lot. But, think of that, they kind of covered Jade and Tiffany, they're just, like, had a quick little, that's it. Ready? I'm over SummerSlam tonight.
So am I.
Right. But that is all of SmackDown that I have. I have no more comments. Do you have anything you want to add?
That's all I got.
All right. That is all of SmackDown. And now, SummerSlam predictions. We have 14 matches on the card between two nights, 7 each. Let's go with night 1 tonight. We're just going to go in order this has it. Wait, hold on. 6 matches. I thought there were 7. Again, maybe they got rid of a couple matches. Oh, well. We start off with Tiffany Stratton versus Jade Cargill for the Women's Championship. I'm going with Jade.
You think they do it now?
I mean, she's been in WWE for a little bit. I don't think they're going to waste Queen of the Ring. I don't think they're going to waste both of them.
Okay.
Because with Cody, that's the one that's really up in the air, and I don't think they're going to waste both King and Queen of the Ring. So this one, you at least have to be like, she's got it. I think Jade Cargill gets the championship here.
I could see that. How long has Tiffany had the championship? It's been a hot
since
minute.
Since January. Okay. She's had it for a
couple months.
7 months. It'll be almost 7 months. Like, it was beginning of January 3rd.
Yeah.
So, 7 months she's had it. That's a good reign. That's a good enough reign.
And you go up the, yeah, because I mean she had Charlotte Flair at Mania.
She's had Trish Stratus. She's had Nia Jax. She's had multiple people try to come for it. But I think this is the moment where
we're going with the Queen of the Rings. I would see Jade. I think she's been there long enough. I think they're ready. Like, hey, you ready for the title?
Yeah. Next, we have Randy Orton and Jelly Roll versus Drew McIntyre and Logan Paul. I feel like this is both a hard one and an easy one at the same time. Yeah. Hard because, like, it could go either way, but easy, it's like, but you have to have the celebrity win.
Yes.
During these big events, usually you have the celebrity wrestler win.
Unless Jelly Roll is really thinking of being here a little long term, I'm still going with him and Randy.
We're going with him and Randy.
I feel like this is the feel-good match. You get the feel-good moment. You get the crowd popping for the faces.
I don't think Jelly Roll's going to keep coming back. Maybe he'll come back later when he loses more weight. And he tells Cesaro going to do the surgery because, like, when you're that big and you lose weight that fast, the skin just doesn't.
Mm-hmm,
It's that. But I think
He's put in the work at the PC.
He's not Travis Scott.
I mean, and he's still like learning promos. Like, did you see a podcast that Stephanie McMahon did with him? I think it's the What's Your Story.
Stephanie's one. Places.
No, the What's I think it's the What's Your Story that she did with one with Jerry Lawler, and he said in there like he's going up to like Paul Heyman asking him to like.
How he did it? He did. He did. I remember he was like, how was that? He said, you do good. But like,
yes.
What? Really tell me.
Yeah.
Like, give me advice. What, how would you fix it? He's like, don't add the name at the end.
Or it was something.
Like, he gave him some advice and some advice that he can't share. Because like, that's between us.
Yeah.
But like, he gave him advice. Like, tell me how good was it? How can I improve? Because like, you can always improve. And Paul Heyman's like, literally one of the best on the mic ever.
It's not the best. He's absolutely
so good. Okay, next we have the Judgment Day, which is Raquel and Roxanne Perez. This is Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss. Will we see the return of Liv Morgan tonight?
That's the big kicker.
She really could. Because it was a dislocated shoulder. It's 2 months at this point.
Yeah.
She could easily return, not come back to wrestling. She could return. And be like, hey, yo, what are you doing?
Yeah.
This is my... What are you doing, Raquel? What are you doing, Roxanne? This is my spot.
It's either then or tomorrow night with Dom and AJ. When Raquel...
Yeah, but I think that would be less of a... We'll see. I don't know about that one. But my pick is Charlotte and Alex. Because they're really going into this like, we're going to be a tag team.
Yeah, they're... I think they keep it on the Judgment Day, and then Liv comes back on Sunday and stirs the pot. That's my prediction.
Okay. They can also easily win. Next, we have Roman Reigns at Jey Uso versus Braun and Bronson. Here's the thing. A lot of people don't see Roman and Jey losing. But you also don't want to kill the momentum of Bronson and Braun.
Yeah.
With a loss that big.
Especially without Seth, if they're really going to push that part.
Can't have them lose here because that shoots their momentum down. Unless something happens in the main event, which I think is going to happen, but we'll get to that in a second. But because if they do lose, like I said, you lose a lot of their momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of like, they're the next big thing, but they can't beat Jey Uso. There's nothing against Jey Uso, but like, If it's 1v1, Braun Breaker's the crap out of
Yes.
James.
With how they're billing him, that should absolutely happen.
They're trying to build Braun Breaker as the next big thing.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, like, you know, what we're talking about is that, like, he's going to be a superstar. I'm going with Braun and Bronson. They need to win. And I think they're going to win dirty. It's not going to be a clean win.
I feel like, I mean, that's been the MO for them. I mean, they've just not really necessarily, well, I guess some kind of dirty wins, but like having interference, playing the numbers game, right, and stuff.
Yep. Who do you have winning?
I have Braun and Bronson.
Okay. Next, we have Sami Zayn versus Karrion Kross. Listen, Trips. Listen, Paul. We went over this during, what was it, Night of Champions?
I think that was their last PLE match. Yeah.
We went over this. You know who the winner's supposed to be. If we do it again, I'm going to be mad.
I know, I'm with you all the way that, you know.
Karrion Kross needs to win this match.
Yes. I hope he saw it with Cross's documentary that he put on YouTube.
So much all that Kross needs to win this match. Because a lot of people are like, Sami Zayn, like, how? You don't, like, you're so, like, you're bad at, but you're not, like, on the baby face. I have to, no.
And, yeah, trying to do that stuff.
It's better. I think it should be. I think it will be. And it better be Karrion Kross winning.
A few 100% of the win.
And remember, if Karrion Kross wins, Sami Zayn has to say Kross is right. But if Sami Zayn somehow picks up the win and disappoints the entire crowd that night, Kross has to say, I was wrong.
Or something.
Something like that.
But, I mean, Sammy's, I mean, this could turn him heel. He could do something with that. I don't know.
It needs to be Karrion Kross. It needs to be Karrion Kross. I'm going to be so upset. Moving on. We have the main event of night one. Gunther versus CM Punk. For the World Heavyweight Championship. I think it's going to be a very good match.
Yes.
I think it's going to be a very underrated match. People are going to expect how good it is. Because you look at their, you look at who they are, you don't think that Punk should win this match. You look at that, it's like, Gunter's huge, dude.
Yes.
Gunter is
and the
6'4", 250. Punk is 6'2", 218. He's sick. Gunter looks a lot bigger than CM Punk.
I know, yeah.
Those numbers don't make it sound like he's not much bigger, but Gunter looks huge compared to Punk.
There is a good size difference there. And, I don't know, it's just, they keep, whenever you see Gunter there, or he's in a match or something, commentary always has to allude to him being champion for, what was it, 80-some percent?
He's been champion most of his champion career.
80-something percent in WWE.
Most of his career in WWE, he's been a champion. But also, remember, whatever it takes is the injury true.
I know.
Or
they're keeping the...
Or does Seth have a different plan? It's like, listen, whatever it takes to keep CM Punk from being a champion. Someone said, what if Seth gave the briefcase to Braun and Braun catches in after CM Punk wins? So Braun walks out champion. So Seth can be like, I told you, whatever it takes to keep you from being champion.
Oh, it could be that. I don't know.
This one's so hard to predict.
I guess, is the set, because I mean, they kept the briefcase with the faction.
They do. Yeah, it's so.
It's.
I don't know how to predict this one. Because I can do my regular prediction. And I can do. Okay, I'm going to do a regular prediction. Gunter retains. That's my normal, okay. I think Gunter retains. It's going to be a hard-fought battle, but Gunter retains. My bold prediction, CM Punk wins, but Seth Rollins returns from his, air quote, injury, and cashes in and wins. That's my bold prediction.
I just can't wrap my mind that it's going to look weird seeing Gunter without a championship if I pick
CM. It does look weird.
And, him, having to go through all that when he's constantly being billed as this almost undefeatable because he did tap out, which the crowd keeps reminding him, which I'll be honest.
I'm surprised they went with that.
Which I'll be honest, I still love it when they do the you tap out chants.
You tapped out. You tapped out. You tapped out. But whatever.
I really want Punk to win this. I really want to
see. Your prediction?
Yes, that's my prediction.
All right, yeah. Go Punk. That is night one.
Yes, night
one. Well, we have night two. We are starting with, Naomi versus Rhea versus EO. Triple threat match for the Women's World Championship. Another hard one. Do you have Naomi retain?
Because that's one side.
Or do you have either Rio or EO pick up the win?
My mindset is you want to push Naomi enough, you have her retain.
I'm looking at it as, is she, you want, if you want to push her, how are the audiences reacting to it? Because I'm not a fan of Naomi. It's nothing against her. I'm not a fan of her.
I feel like the crowd's had a good enough reaction to her.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I was surprised at the reaction she got Money in the Bank. It was a really jock swerve cash in.
It was.
At Evolution.
I think people were just, that one was just a shock value. I didn't expect you to come here.
Especially with her
constantly trying to cash in on Tiffany. And then it's like, hey, haha, you thought.
I think the crowd's over enough on her that I think that Naomi retains.
I think she is going to retain. She probably will retain. Next, we have Becky versus Lyra for the women's and a no disqualification, no count out, last chance match for the women's Intercontinental Championship. If Lyra loses, she cannot challenge for the title as long as Becky is champion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like how they're doing this already. This has been such a short feud.
Yeah, but it's also been over the place because,
this has been not a great feud.
I know. They've had matches leading up, and then Bailey was added in, then she was taken out.
She was in the thing at Evolution.
And then, apparently she's not going to be at SummerSlam.
She is. She 100% is.
Are you thinking it's in this match?
Oh, she 100% is getting involved. So I don't have anywhere at SummerSlam. It's she's setting it up that she's going to get involved in this match.
But
now, who does she help?
That's it.
Does almost she help harder. Becky or does she help Lyra? Or does she originally help Lyra and then afterwards she attacks?
I mean, it's clear they for the triple threat match, they built up that it's not it's a 2-on-1 triple threat match. It's, they're trying to build up as all three of them
hate
each other and want the title.
I think it's. Because if Lyra wins, it's not over. Because Becky's I'm still not done with you. But Becky wins, it's over. Which I think it needs to end because this has not been a good feud. In my opinion. I think the matches have been good.
Yes.
But like, everything else is just not good.
I know, like, the promos.
The promos are not being great.
Like, I don't like it either. I would agree with you.
It's like, okay. Like, I am glad they gave Becky the title, because if they didn't, her whole heel turn would have been for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she needs... It needs to be Becky. It's going to be Becky. I'm choosing Becky. You can choose whoever you want.
I'm kind of leaning that way, too. I know, it's just the stipulation kind of makes it feel like I want to go Lyra.
Pick who you want.
I'll pick Lyra. Because of the stipulation, just can't get that out of my head. I think it'll go Lyra, and then we'll see where it goes from there.
Next, we have Solo Sikoa versus Jacob Fatu. Steel cage match for the United States Championship. I mean, Solo's not even had it for, like, barely a month.
That's true, and he has the MFT whatever.
I think Solo retains. Keep this feud going for a little bit. He's going to retain.
I think so, too. I'm processing.
I'm going with Solo retaining.
That's with how everything else is. I just see that happening too. Yeah, that's my pick too, Solo.
All right, next we have Dominic Mysterio versus AJ Styles for the WWE Intercontinental Championship. Now, I'm going with AJ Styles for a couple reasons. One, AJ Styles, I would love to see within their championship.
I
think it's because AJ's going to lose this one. And then he's going to go down to AAA and win the Mega Championship. Because do you remember recently?
You said AJ.
It's not saying he's going to lose the championship.
Yeah.
Trying it would be Dom.
Yes. Yeah.
Dom's going to lose the championship and then go with him. Because you saw that he recently went down to AAA.
Mm-hmm.
Made an appearance, got a huge pop.
Mm-hmm.
A full promo in Spanish saying, like, in King of the Luchadores, I'm going to win the Mega Championship. I think he wins.
I don't hate that.
I think that's what's going to happen.
You see Liv coming back at all here. Here. I think, if anything,
AAA is separate from the WWE right now. I still see Liv coming back.
Okay, yeah. If anything, I think it's this match rather than the other match because of they're doing that whole thing with her and Dom.
Yeah. Next, we have, the six-pack TLC ladder match between, here we go, the Wyatt Six, Andrade and Rey Fénix, DIY, Fraxium, Motor City Machine Guns, and the Street Profits.
TLC, baby.
I think because they just won it, and they're not going to take it away from them that fast, the Wyatt Six are going to retain. The Wyatt Six will retain, but it's going to be... Oh boy.
I'm ready for this match. It's going to bring the house down.
So we're already having 12 people in the ring. And since it's a TLC match, there's no tags.
Yeah, so...
You just go.
I'm going to love... It's going to be such a good kind of chaos. I'm loving this. I'm ready
for it. That's going to... We both pick White Six. And now, the main event. Cody Rhodes. John Chen. A street fight for the Undisputed WWE Championship.
I know.
With
how they've been building this up, it's...
And with the supposed face turn he had last night.
Face turn, Cody heel turn, maybe.
Does The Rock come out?
Does Travis Scott come out?
Hopefully Travis Scott's coming back. The Rock could easily play a part in this because he didn't play a part at SummerSlam. Maybe not SummerSlam. At WrestleMania, they had Travis Scott come out. If John Cena says he goes back heel, he's definitely winning. But if Cody turns heel, he's going to win.
I don't know. It's they need Cena face at the end of this. That's
all. It all depends on who's heel at the end of the day. Oh, this one's hard. You know what? My prediction is they're doing the Cody Rhodes heel turn and he walks out champion. And we start to get a Homelander Cody.
I love that. But I see it too. Him finally snapping at Night of Champions, other small things that he's done. He's
shown that he has his dark side.
Yeah, I mean that was the big thing. Him, Randy going at it. Of course they're gonna go after John Cena. They've already said that. But it's like they both show in the matches. None of them could snap and do what needed to be done to beat John Cena, and he does it, and Cena does it anyway.
Like, Cody can do it,
and then Cody does it in that match. Cody does it against Randy, and so
it's in a street fight too. So there's no DQs, there's no this.
And go
for it. Who do you pick?
I think Cody too. I think seeing the Cody heel turn. Cody. As well.
All right, we both pick Cody, and that is our predictions for SummerSlam.
That is.
Hope we have fun with SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
That is all I have for today. You have anything else you want to add?
That's all I got.
All right. This is the podcast today. Remember, we're everywhere podcasts can be found. We are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play Podcasts. Basically, if there's a podcast service, we're probably there. Give us 5 stars. Give us a like. Make sure we know that we like it or don't. I mean, you don't have to.
Yeah.
But you want to take it away, buddy?
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Have a great day, and God bless.